Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about health, we decide what fear does to it. Because the truth is, the moment someone hears a diagnosis, everything changes, not just their body, but their thoughts, their identity, their future. And fear steps in really fast. Fear of symptoms, fear of what's coming, fear of your own body. And once that fear takes over, it's hard to trust anything again. God didn't design your body to be something you're at war with. So today we're talking about what happens when you stop living in fear and start listening differently. Today's guest is Shelley Galvin. She is a coach who helps women break out of fear-based cycles and rebuild trust in their own bodies. So let's just go right to it, Shelley. I say, take me to the moment where you were given a diagnosis. What happened? What's going through your mind?
Well, it was my, ANA or antigen levels were always coming back positive. And it was like, what does this mean? So she checked and she said, well, you have lupus. Okay, well, what does that mean? And well, some days you're just going to be knocked on your butt. Well, that's what, and I have a good chance of having lupus because my sister has several autoimmune conditions. My mom did too. And so you just kind of think about that, family heritage happening, And I have a pretty, there was no reason for me to think I didn't have it other than that blood test was my only evidence. I had no pain joints, nothing like that. Of course, I come home, I tell my husband, like, I have lupus. It's kind of in a way, it's devastating. You're like, what now? And trying my hardest not to Google it.
Oh, that would I would have gone there before I went to my husband properly.
Because you're like, oh, do I want to know? And you can really go down, that horrible thing. So it's just sat there for quite a few years. I went through a couple of different providers just because of, them closing a practice or moving or things. And finally, this last provider, I'm like, can we really find out? Like, can we do some more tests? I don't like this over my head. And she did. She did some inflammation tests and she's like, no, you don't have lupus, but I do have, and we knew I had Raynaud's. And that's your fingers and your toes lose circulation and they get cold. And when I got diagnosed with that, I thought it was funny because it he diagnosed it Raynaud's without gangrene. And I was like, wait, gangrene's an option? Love that. So like, I'm never going to be able to live in a cold area, I guess. But so, and that explained why my tests were coming back, my antigen tests coming back positive. But so, there was a blessing. Yes, I don't have lupus, thank goodness. What really started this was, my sister, she struggled for years with the chronic pain, and it's amazing that she is surviving. And then me getting diagnosed and understanding and just wanting to help women. And your body is, it's trying to protect you, but it's on overprotect. And you have to learn to get it to be like, okay, bring it back down, calm down,
When did you start to recognize the fear? I mean, you came in there wanting knowledge, answers. Where does fear start playing into this? Was it the initial, like, you have lupus?
I remember it just felt like everything just went bonk, and you're numb because what does this mean? What's going to happen? And you hear, so many people just in general, when you're at work or here or there, friends and family that, if they have lupus, you hear more, I guess you could say the horror stories, the bad things, and not that there's not good things, but you hear all this stuff and you're like, is this what I have to expect? Is this going to happen to me?
What
What
actually
do
is
I do?
lupus? Can you fill us in on that? Because I don't know the full.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if
Well,
you.
there's so many different autoimmune conditions. Lupus affects your joints and it can affect your internal organs too. And so it causes a severe inflammation, which causes pain, And so all of them pretty much cause pain and inflammation, and they're just horrible. 80% of diagnoses are women, which is even worse. And I just think, unfortunately, nothing against men, but us women, we're the go-getters, we're the caretakers. I mean, in our genes naturally to want to take care of everything. So we don't, we're like, we're not sick, we're not this, we're not that. We got to take care of, the kids, the job, the husband, the partner, the property, the dog. We
I
don't give,
think,
we don't.
I think that's part of why women probably rule that demographic is because we are worried about everything outside of here rather than us, because I think the body keeps the score. And if we're carrying all that stress and we're going through this process without actually, taking care of ourselves first, right? Like,
100%.
fill my cup before I step into the arena with my kids, right?
We don't take, just 2 minutes. There's breathing exercises you can do. I love, meditation and hypnosis. And it's funny because, you say just 2 minutes, just, and I have to set a timer because I'm too ADD. I'm looking at the clock all the time. Like, was it my 2 minutes up? So my 2 minutes up. So I'll set a timer. I close my eyes and I just breathe. And it's a world of difference just to take those 2 minutes for yourself. And, if you get up to 5 minutes, that's even better. But, it sounds funny because you're like, 2 minutes is nothing, but 2 minutes is everything when you're not doing it.
When you're in it, when you're in it, it's, I think about a blank, right? That's the longest minute of my life. I'm like, that minute feels like an hour. And I imagine for someone that's just been running for so long to sit and just be quiet for a minute is, it'll be excruciating at first, but what's the payoff? I mean, it comes with big benefits. That 1 minute a day, it compounds.
And you start putting up, I don't know if you want to say like boundaries, but you start realizing, okay, everybody around you is going to realize she's going to get her 2 minutes. We're going to leave her alone. And you start doing that, and you create that daily habit of this is my time and it's okay. And one of the worst things is, you love your cell phone, but you hate your cell phone. And it's learning to like, this doesn't have to be here. I'm not going to have any of these electronics by me, and go outside to a tree and take your 2 minutes.
For sure. Well, I want to go to this place where, because I think a lot of people, I just kind of watched this, not for someone I was close to, but an acquaintance, get diagnosed with cancer and immediately downhill. And I believe it was like 3 months after her diagnosis that she passed away. And I feel like diagnosis does affect people on such a tremendous level because, I have big trust issues with the medical industry. Okay. So I've already been in that awareness of like, I know not to just go to a doctor and what they say may not be what it is, right? Because they're just taught like book stuff, just really book stuff. Their training is not like, I know Shelly's body. Like, we know our bodies better than any doctor. So what's happening in your body versus what's happening in your mind? You hear this diagnosis. When do you feel something is off about the diagnosis? And then what kind of drove you to actually question it instead of just accept it?
So like when I got diagnosed, it was scary. And it, like you were saying, how it goes into your head, it my conscious mind was, you have lupus, you have lupus, you have lupus. And I'm like, no, I don't, no, I don't, no, I don't. And I knew enough not to concentrate on that. And then I had my one nurse practitioner, and I was talking to her, like, why is it my antigen level comes back positive every time? Like, what is this? And she's like, well, unless you want to do further testing. And she, said, the C word. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do any testing when it comes to the C word. We're not even gonna. And then, like I said, one of them closed their practice and I found a different one. And that's where I was just like, this has been going on for how many years? Why, if I have it, I should be something. I don't want to wait for that other foot to drop and all of a sudden I'm in excruciating pain. There's got to be preventative stuff I can do and figure all of this out. And so she did the inflammation test, which was amazing. But during all of this, my sister is going through flare-ups, and she's laid out in bed, and I'm like, God, I don't, how can I help her? But I don't want to be her, and or anybody that, I know several people that have autoimmune, and I think a lot of it is putting boundaries out, like your unconscious mind is super powerful.
Right.
And it's giving yourself, like, women, we don't give ourselves that permission to take that time. We need to relax. We need to be able to protect ourselves. Your body's in total fight mode because it thinks it's getting attacked, but it's not. So you've got to be like, okay, I'm safe. I'm in a safe place. I do different hypnosis scripts for at night to feel, calm and protected and you're healing. And, like I said, and this, we beat ourselves up. It doesn't matter if we're in pain, we still have to go and take care of everything.
Yeah, for sure. What, because this is what I think happens, that fear thing, why someone can get a diagnosis that they have cancer and they're dead in 30 to 90 days versus someone who is in remission after, even a worse cancer, right? Like a four, whatever. I honestly think that that diagnosis automatically for some people is like the death warrant. Like we just signed off, you're dying. What is fear actually doing to the nervous system and body, and how do we empower people to question diagnosis and doctors, and for us to, maybe the C word did come up, right? Maybe it does come up, but that doesn't mean I have to lay in bed every night and be like, great, I have cancer, I'm dying, because your body's gonna believe that. The fear is gonna feed it, and then you're done. You don't have a chance.
I mean, I think we've all been working in an office where somebody had a cold and all of a sudden somebody else has that same cold, within like minutes. It's because they sat there and they're telling themselves over and over, just like you said, over and over again. And that's what I started to do when I got diagnosed. I have lupus. I have lupus. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do this because I know how powerful your unconscious mind is. And your unconscious mind is the one that's in control of everything, And so I was like, no, I'm not doing this. And then, pushing further because I knew I didn't have these pains and stuff. When you look up lupus and, well, when you Google it and there's all the check marks, I didn't
You didn't
mark those
have
off.
them. Yeah.
Even though I still have, Raynaud's, but, and I think a lot of it is, like you said, somebody gets diagnosed with something, they're like, well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm done, and they give up. And you can't. You
Right.
can't. I couldn't imagine getting diagnosed with anything
Yeah.
and not fighting
Right.
and figuring it out. And one of the things, like my sister, like I said, she was diagnosed many years ago.
Yeah.
And at that point, doctors, they're all, here's a medication, and here's another medication to counteract this one and that one. And oh, well, you have this other symptom now. So here's, so by the end of it, you have a bucket full of medications you're taking. And how is the Now what's going to happen to your liver and your kidneys and everything else that's internal? Because now you're taking all of this stuff your body was never supposed to be taking.
Yeah.
And but now your body's addicted to it, to everything. It doesn't matter if it's pain pills or anything. They're so used to having all of these anti-inflammatory medications. Now what do you do? So at least there are some functional doctors out there that, are looking for the root cause, and we're learning that we need to eat differently, obviously. You can't have McDonald's every day, for God's sake. But, there's anti-inflammatory foods. There was a time where it was, oh, you shouldn't exercise because it'll hurt your joints. No, if you just go for a little 5-minute walk, that helps with inflammation. You have to keep moving. And so it's moving in the right direction, but I still don't feel there's, the support out there for a lot of women, or giving those women, like you 2 minutes, a 2-minute permission to go take a time out. It sounds stupid, but how many people actually go and do them?
I mean, I try to get myself put in time out all the time. I'm like, it's even last night, I'm like, aren't I grounded? Shouldn't I go to bed early, please? Okay. Take the time outs. And I think there's, an emotional part of that. Like, we just don't want to see inside of ourselves. And sometimes when the world slows down, the mirror shows up. And I think women are really good at that and kind of end up slipping into that victim mentality of, They get to stay the victim if they continue to serve other people and neglect themselves, and then they really never have to look at any responsibility. So, I see both sides, the conversation of like women have it rough. Also, women are manipulators and kind of create this space. Like, we do this to ourselves. We literally do it to ourselves. And then we say, well, it was culture. Well, this is just what I have to do. Like, yeah, we're parents, but that, I mean, what good are you if you're dead? Like, you can't parent your kids from a hospital bed. But I mean, and you have the whole world. This is part of that responsibility of like, the food industry does not care about your health. In fact, it's the complete opposite. They're all working together. All the food that's on the shelves, everything that's fast and convenient, all of that is high inflammation. I'm sure if we look at the data from like, I don't know, maybe even just 50 years ago, I don't think we'd have the same statistics we do now for all of these inflammatory
Oh, 100%. I totally agree.
issues. And why, I mean, why are we just not, why is that just not clicking with women? A walk. The.
Well, and two, I think it's your environment in our
Yeah.
reality, where you live too. I know where I live. I'm up in Southern Oregon, and I'm really starting to see a lot more people. They're having their own little farm, their garden.
Nice.
They're doing their own, fruits and vegetables,
Yeah.
and there's a lot of livestock, obviously, that around here. But also, there's what am I, little stands for sourdough bread
Yeah.
and honey, and so they're really starting to come back with more of our natural foods, and
Yeah.
which is really good. And on the flip side, you drive down the road and there's McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King,
Everywhere.
all right next door to each other. And I find it funny because people, I'm like, I don't know the last time I ate in one of those places. I don't eat in those places.
No.
I mean, I did in my 20s,
Yeah.
let's be real, but now I'm like, ew. And
Well, first of
I'm
all,
not, I don't eat the health. So let's be real, I cheat, but I'm trying to be better.
Yeah, and
And
that's the point, right? Is like to compromise a little bit. Unfortunately, there's times my kids still end up in a drive-through because that's the best I can do in that moment. Like, okay, this is that, but it is about a really healthy balance. So 90% of what we do is real food, right? Like, it's a very simple advice someone said, just don't ever shop inside of the grocery store, shop the perimeter. And if you shop the perimeter, you're going to find your vegetables, your fruits, you're going to find your meat, you're going to find your dairy, and get the heck out of there. Like, none of us have any business in the middle of a grocery store. So I think it's great advice, but I think all of this comes down to like that simple, just really learning to trust your body. So when did you kind of go inside yourself to realize like, I'm trusting me, because your mind, that subconscious voice could have easily said, oh, well, you do have this. And then pain starts appearing. You do have that. When did you really just kind of internalize this to take that responsibility for yourself to say, nah, I don't have any of this and this.
Really, it was a couple years ago. I went through NLP and hypnosis training,
Okay.
and it taught me a lot about myself and my inner and my unconscious mind, and realized that you can shut it down. You can start hearing it, and you just, no, I'm not doing this. And my husband is a scrap metal recycler, and I help him take big H vac units apart
Yeah.
and stuff, and it's very physical, and I enjoy it, and it keeps me moving. But there's times where your back hurts or that hurts, I'm like, oh, I'm a little sore, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
I don't give it power, and I choose what I'm gonna give power to. You know what I mean? Like, if I give my back power that it hurts, then I'm gonna be out on the floor. Or I'm gonna say, no, my back's a little sore. I'm gonna get an ice pack. I'm gonna sit down, watch TV for like 30 minutes or something, and then I'm gonna move, I'm gonna stretch. But I am a firm believer with that, the unconscious mind. Little backstory too, I had a tanning hair salon for 12 years, and I had a lot of people say, like, you're always here, you're never sick. And I'm like, no, it's against my religion.
Yeah.
And like, what?
Yeah.
No, I can't be sick. I have a business that has business hours, and I didn't get sick except for one time I did get COVID.
Yeah. I
But
got it
no,
too. One time. One time I've
yeah.
been sick.
And but it was the power of my mind. You know,
Yeah.
people would be sick and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And I don't think we give ourselves the credit. And if you really start to look inside and look how powerful your mind is and
Yeah.
what it can accomplish, like,
You're limitless. I love that. And I
yeah.
love what you're saying about, like, I mean, you're this is the thing. My husband would wake up and he's like, "Man, I'm really sore," you know, and the question would come up, like, if I'm sore and I wake up and I'm like, "No." But here's the thing, everybody's decided that when you get older, you start hurting, right? That's the
Yeah.
big joke. Almost 50, that's the big joke. And I'm like, that's not going to be me. So I intentionally make myself sore with the lifting weights. I'm like, if I'm going to be sore, I'm going to earn it. Like, I'm sore and I look forward to it. So I feel like if I'm going to be hurting anyway, then this is the pain I choose. And that's, I wish everybody, especially older women, would understand, like, you're probably going to be hurting anyway. That's a fact. So choose it. Like, I'm going to be sore because I lifted some weights rather than I got out of bed.
Yeah. And I think, exercise, unfortunately, the word exercise is, in a sense, an evil word. Because for whatever reason, when we say exercise, we look at it that we have to go do 5 miles and bench press 100 pounds. And we go to such an extreme. And it's no, you don't have to go walk for 15 minutes. Get a 1 pound weight and lift that up. I'm with you, girl. I was on the treadmill this morning. I was lifting weights. I make myself do it every single morning because I need to keep moving. I got to keep my joints lubed, and that's how you do it. And people are like, you get up at what time? I'm like, yeah, that's what I do every single morning. That is my me time. That's, but I had to get to that point. I was a smoker for half my life, and I remember when I actually could run a mile on the treadmill. I thought it was, amazing. But I had to work for that. So, like I said, exercise is a nasty word, and it's just moving, and I agree with you. I would rather be sore because I'm out there moving around and, being physical than because I'm out of shape and overweight and old.
I mean, all of that. There's just so much belief passed down from generation, like so many lies I've called out. And I feel like another, a big thing that's being hyped is like the perimenopause, the premenopause, the menopause. And it all links to, I'm going to sell you something, every single thing. And I'm saying, like, what, yeah, our body's going to go through something natural, but it's the same thing of like, we got our period. Once upon a time, we got our period, then we had babies, and we went through a whole year process of healing. Like, making everything I just commercialized drives me nuts, because then people all of a sudden, you just have these people like suddenly have these symptoms, like, this stuff's happening to me, I'm definitely in perimenopause. And I'm like, what?
Pill and then you feel better. And that's the thing, that's because, in the society, we're in an instant gratification, especially with the fast food, the cell phones. We can order food from our phone right now. Like, everything is so instant. So if I have pain, if I have inflammation, well, I don't want to go walk for 15 minutes. I just want to pop a pill, and yeah.
I want to shake you guys for that. I want to shake you if you're one of my listeners that is thinking that still, because you guys, come on. Now, after this conversation, you definitely know better. But these people that do get stuck in this fear and what it does to the body, what is something that you see the people that you're working with that they don't realize they're doing that's keeping them stuck in a fear, almost victim cycle?
And it well, in a sense, it's easy because, something comes up and you don't want to deal with it. Oh, I'm in a flare up right now. I'm not going to be able to do it, and again, like with your mind, if you keep telling people, I'm in a flare, I'm in a flare, well, your body's going to be like, okay, we're in a flare. This is what's going to happen. So you have that choice. And I'm not saying that, you're going to decide, no, I'm not in a flare, and your body's like, nah, but you need to go sit down for a minute. You still have to have that listening to it. But if you're always constantly trying to get out of stuff and saying you're in a flare, that's also going to happen too.
How do you rebuild trust? Because this is what I also feel like I know to be true, is that a lot of people kind of secretly know this, right, Shelley? I mean, people kind of know like I should move my body, I should be eating better. Like they secretly know what to do, but they're very comfortable and they wait for this big life event. They wait for the health scare. They wait for the whatever it is. Like people are always waiting for the big life event. Dr. Joe Dispenza, that's what he says. Stop waiting for the event. You don't have to wait for the event, but say someone gets to that point. They're in the big event now. How would you teach them to rebuild trust in their body after they've been afraid of it because of this big event?
They're gonna have to pick, well, first, like, pick their boundaries, because there's depending on your family and stuff like that, they're gonna have to explain, this is what I'm going through, this is what I'm gonna need, because having that autoimmune condition affects everybody around you. And they need to understand that sometimes you're gonna need a few minutes, or I'm gonna need to go walk, or I'm gonna need you to do the dishes and to figure that out. And then just understanding that, yes, my body is attacking itself, but it's trying to protect itself. And just taking that moment and go, okay, you're trying to protect me. You're not hurting me. I am healthy. I will get through this. A lot, like I said, with hypnosis, positive affirmations, they're huge. I have in my bathroom, I have a list of positive affirmations that I read every day, because I need that. I need to know. And one of them is, that I accept peace. I will have peace and learn that.
And just
But
that,
it takes a little bit, because you're gonna have to get into the habit of it. You can't just do it for 3 days and then not do it. This has to be your lifestyle.
So it's not just a one-off. I can't just write down a list of affirmations and read them out loud and a magic wand's going to appear and poof, like everything's amazing.
We're good. Yeah.
And the greatest part is this is something that too, I was just explaining this to my husband the other day because he's like, man, I prayed for peace and everybody pissed me off today. I'm like, well, here's the thing I know that when I ask God for peace, the biggest shit storm falls on my lap because he's like, you want the peace? Practice. And that mentality is so hard for people to understand, but it's the same thing with the affirmations. If you want to believe something positive, I'm going to show you the opposite just so you can build the muscle. And it is the rep. And this is that very unsexy, unglamorous part of life is the very small disciplined things you do. Maybe you don't exercise right now. Maybe my listener is just on the couch binging Netflix, listening to my stuff just to be able to get mad at me, right? Like, oh, she's so annoying. Maybe they're listening to that now. And I'm saying, like, I challenge you just 2 minutes, walk outside for 2 minutes every single day for the next 30 days. 2 minutes, set a timer like Shelly does, set a timer, 2 minutes outside for 30 days. And I think you're going to be a different person.
100%.
Every day, that little tiny thing. I'm not saying like flip your life upside down, right? We're not like, it
You
is
don't have
that.
to go to 5 miles. Just
Like you were saying,
because
exercise is a dirty word. It's because
it is.
we have this all or nothing preset, like all or nothing. I didn't get on the treadmill for like 3 months because I missed a day and I would get my 10,000 steps by noon, right? That was my whole thing. I missed a day. That day turned into 3 months. I literally had to rewire my brain and tell myself, listen, 5 minutes. Just get on that thing 5 minutes every morning. 5 minutes turns to 10, 10 minutes turns to 30. I put on a show the other day and I'm like, oh, I remember. This is good and I like this. It's okay. It's safe, right? Little things in that all or nothing attitude is just kind of kicking our butt. And that's going to keep the fear and that cycle. It's all that same energy of just like it balls up and it holds us down.
And like every night I stretch. And my little cat, I call her kitten, but she's three. She comes over and it's like a cue. She looks up at me on the couch, like, is it time? Because then she stretches with me.
That is
But
key.
we have a routine every night I stretch. And it's just, little stretches. It's nothing major, but I'm like, okay, but it's my routine and I know it. And it takes me, I don't know, like 5 minutes.
That's
But that's
key.
better than sitting on the couch.
It's little things. And that's the first thing in the morning. I have this little space in my bathroom where it's a free wall. So I was literally just thinking this morning when I'm stretching and I'm putting my shoulders against the wall. And I was just like, man, this is like the most perfect bare wall. in the most perfect room I could possibly have for convenience. Because it's literally right. We wake up, we go pee, and then we're like, okay, what are we doing today? Just stretching and that gratitude. Be grateful for a stupid wall, really. Come on. But yeah, it changed the trajectory of my day because,
Yeah, but a great way to wake up.
yeah. And that's it's such a little thing. Such a little thing. What is something, Shelly, because we are coming up on our time, so I'm gonna ask another question for you. What is something that you are currently doing now that you never would have done during your fear phases?
Taking time for myself, really. I've been self-employed for so many years. Like I said, running the salon, it was really hard to take those 2 minutes. And we have property out here, and I've got a side by side, and my zen is we have a pond, and every day I go do loops around the pond and look at the toads. And that's I have to change it in the winter, obviously,
Yeah.
but that is my time. And my husband knows, don't bother me, I'm out in my pond.
I'm in my
And
moment. I love that.
yeah, but it is. It's taking those 2 minutes, the 2 minutes to breathe, your time, and you need it. You really need it.
Yeah. It's a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, just be okay with the consequence, right? It's like what you're not changing, you're choosing. Nobody can help you unless you're going to help yourself. And it starts with 2 minutes.
Yep.
Where can
Yep.
people find you? How can they get resourced with you?
ShellyGalvin.com. I also have a special for you. I'm special 25 to receive 25% off my products on
Yes.
my website. And my email is toinspirewithin @gmail.
Perfect. I'll make sure
Yeah.
you guys are linked in the show notes. So check those now so you can get resourced. And Shelly, this is the part of the show where I get to say what I think makes you special. And it's not that you went through a diagnosis, a misdiagnosis. It's that you caught what a lot of people stay blind to. You saw how fear was shaping your experience, how it was influencing your body, and how it was changing how you showed up. And instead of staying in that space because it was the devil, because it was comfortable, you chose something different and you learned to trust again. And the fact you're willing to be out here helping other people get out of that same cycle of fear, of tension, of living like something is always wrong, I think that is incredibly powerful. I think it is much needed. And I am definitely, you're stewarding your potential. I'm praying for your journey because a lot of people need your message. To everyone listening, your body is not your enemy, but fear. Fear is going to make it feel like it. So please pay attention and not just to symptoms, but to what you're believing about them. God did not design you to live in constant fear of the body he gave you. So you're allowed to question, you're allowed to listen, you're allowed to trust again. Just be aware and remember that your mess is your message. Even the fear, even the confusion, even the moments where you thought something was completely wrong, that is where your awareness starts. If this episode spoke to you, please share this out with someone who needs it. Shelly doesn't have access to people that you know, and the best way for her to get her message out and for her to get her story out and her work out is for you just to click the share. Very selfless thing. It takes a second. And you guys know if you're ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Shelly, this was awesome. Thank you so much for your
Thank
time today.
you. Thank you.